Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. The ride is over, man. The ride is unfortunately over for the boys in blue last night out at Kauffman Stadium. We're obviously going to hear from inside the clubhouse throughout the show today. We'll have Vern join us at 12:30 today to get his reaction to this season coming to an end at the hands of the New York Yankees out at Kauffman Stadium. We'll also have a little fun in the 1 o'clock hour today. The fan club coming your way on a Friday. Some much needed, maybe drinks to cap off the end of the season.
Can we start that at like noon today? Can we get fired up a little early?
Mean, that's
into the season. It's a Friday.
Drew's ready. It sounds like Drew's
might
ready.
Have something in the specs fridge still. I think there were some loose ones floating around.
Okay, maybe so. Well, obviously hear from you guys.
Some, like, hard liquor.
Yeah,
want to go that route.
We'll hear from you guys throughout the show and tell us how you're feeling about the season as a whole. Right, I want to talk about that in a little bit too, is what this season meant. But obviously the frustration, disappointment is all there from last night. 913-586-7965. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Also can call in there as well. But let's just start with the series. Why is this thing coming to an end? And we can get to, I still think, an immensely positive year that hopefully gives you some good vibes moving into 2025. But the reality is, look, it sucks. The season is over. It's been a hell of a year, an up and down season at times. And there was obviously real reason to believe after Monday night's game, in which they even upped this series, that they were in great position to move on.
And they had taken control of this series, seemingly, with a couple of games coming to Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah, but look, I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know, we talked yesterday that it would be hard to believe they could win Game four, if once again 2-3-4 in your lineup don't come through with big hits, it's gonna be really tough. You're facing a really good Yankees team, although, by the way, that their bullpen was just outstanding,
lights out
throughout the series. And unfortunately, that happened. There's obviously some moments where it felt like they were about to tie this thing up. Kyle is, but we were sitting in right field. We all, like, Dusty's next to us. We all stood up. Everybody in the media, like the row we were in, everybody stood up. I mean, Soto's ass was up against the chain link fence. I mean, so there were moments, man, and that adds to the disappointment, because you wonder, like, what if, right? The big what if of what game is.
Homer in 27 parks or million other things. But it wasn't. It was Kauffman, and the wind was blowing in. All things that were a factor in whether or not that thing didn't go. But yeah, I mean, there were several moments between that and the benches clearing brawl. I'm like, okay, now we're cooking.
It did feel
I thought maybe a little energy coming. Vinny got the RBI double right after that. I thought, okay.
It did feel like that benches clearing brawl, like nothing happened. It was your typical baseball fight, right? Like they just stared at each other for a little while. But yeah, it felt like that could have been, you know, the moment where it swung everything. If the Royals would have ended up coming back and winning that game, that would have been the moment that everybody pointed to and said, okay, did that spark the team? And it did lead to a run right after. But that was it. Just simply not enough offense in the series. Let's just call it like it. Not enough offense in the series from the guys that have to perform. Look at any team in baseball, especially when you're not a team that is out there spending $200 million on a payroll.
Way too low. You know, the Yankees.
You know, 300. I know. I'm just throwing out a number. But yes, you get the point. My point being is, like, your stars on a team, the Royals have to hit. You just have to. And that's not to doubt. Like, Tommy Pham was great. He had three hits last night. He was terrific. But, like, ultimately, it's got to be the three guys we talked about the whole time. And it just didn't come fruition last night. And that ends the season for the Royals.
It depends on how you want to boil it down. I think you could simplify it to its lowest common denominator, which would be the Yankees were a better team. They have a better bullpen. They have more stars and a better offense. And maybe that was what got the better of them. But I think it's what we talked about at the beginning part of the season. I understand. I'm never going to be that mad that Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi had a bad four-game stretch. If it weren't for them, they wouldn't even be in this position,
sure, right?
They wouldn't even be in the postseason as it factored if it weren't for those players and what they accomplished. I still probably put it more on the offense the last couple of days, because if I told you over the course of 162 games, your team gave up three runs, which is what they gave up last night, what they gave up the game before, they gave up just two the game before that. So in the last three games, they gave up a total of eight runs and lost two of them. I don't know, man. In a normal regular season of baseball, those are wins. But honestly, the starting pitching didn't live up to what it was in the regular season either, because that's the other thing that got them where they were. And had they had one guy in the last two games just stick it to the Yankees the way they did his starters pretty consistently and went six shutout innings versus five letting up two or four letting up one or three, you know, whatever it was over the last couple of games, well, then they probably force a game 5-2. It stinks. It obviously stinks that it came down to the end of this.
It did.
But yeah, the two moments that killed me were those two. When the benches cleared and then Vinny hit the double, I thought, okay, fire, you know, like, they've got some fire again. One more hit, one more run in here, and this place is going to start popping off again in kind of a crazy way. And then Isbell's hit. I thought it was gone.
Yeah, look,
I thought it was gone.
I actually thought the crowd last night was better than the crowd on Wednesday night. I don't know if you agree with me or not.
I thought
Thursday night's crowd was better than Wednesday's. Maybe it was the feeling of desperation, right? And knowing, like, hey, it has to happen in anticipation. There also were some, you know, there were, whether it's the bullpen guys running out to the infield, and Brady Singer was like first in line sprinting from the bullpen, by the way, to get out there. Whether it was that moment or there just seemed like they were close to turning the corner and finding something. I don't know, but I just felt like last night's crowd was better than Wednesday. But you're right. This was the moment where it felt like everything was going to shift.
Bam has his hands on his knees as he leads off of first base. The 1-0 pitch. Isbell swings and it's a fly ball. Deep right field. Back goes Soto to the fence and he's got it. Oh, my. Kyle Isbell took Juan Soto to the chain link fence in right field. Literally. He didn't quite get it, but he hit it hard and came just a couple of feet shy of tying this game with a home run.
Stick a knife in my gut, why don't you?
Yeah.
God, that call makes it worse. Not like worse. No, it's not Ryan Lefevre's call. It's a great
call
for
Ryan. I knew what you meant. I think we all knew what you
worse
meant.
Worse emotionally.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, because I thought he got it, and then I don't need to hear stuff like, well, they're saying over on the broadcast that the wind factor at Kaufman tonight is six feet, and you're like, oh, and it's like, well, it would have been a homer in like 26 parks. You're like, I don't need to hear any of this. They're not playing in a different park. They're playing at Kaufman Stadium, and wind sometimes blows in.
And the reality is that night you were playing at Kaufman Stadium.
With the wind blowing in.
And that's the reality. Conditions change. It is what it is. It sucks, you know? It obviously sucks. And, you know, you could sense it. We'll play some of the audio from Bobby Wood Jr. and Vinny and some of the other guys in the clubhouse throughout the show today. And I mean, you know, that's the thing with any sport, but especially with baseball series, like just like that, it abruptly ends. I mean, it's been a hell of a ride this season. Think back to where things were at in May. And just at that point, just the excitement that, wow, there's a chance they're going to compete all year. And that was the reaction in end of April, early May. Like, wow, you know what? We were having conversations like, hey, we got to stop saying are they a good team or not? Are they? No, they are a good team. Remember, that was like just it was tough to get people on board with that.
Yeah.
Until May. Then everybody's like, okay, I acknowledge they're a good team, but are they good enough against blank team? Are they good enough to hold on? The bullpen's not good enough to make the playoffs. All these different things that happen, they were all conversations, warranted conversations. And then to get to a point where, wow, they got a chance to maybe do something special in the postseason. They of course sweep the Orioles in a short series. And then I really believe when they evened it up, when they evened it up on Monday night, like that, that's when I really started to believe that, wow, this could end up being another 2014 ish run, where they go deep into the postseason. But there's no doubt. Let's talk about where this season ended up in terms of heading into the future, because this season, of course, is a massive win overall. And I know it doesn't feel that way today. It's not even 24 hours since the season ended. And it's brutal. And
I'm sure the players are going to have a hard time conceptualizing that this is a successful year.
Their goal, of course, is to win a championship. They didn't win a championship this year. But with this organization and where they were at as a whole, 56 wins a year ago, to now being in a divisional race for much of the season, hosting playoff games, going up against a Yankees team that heading in the postseason was the favorite to win the World Series. And I don't know what the end of the story will look like for them. Maybe they go on to win the World Series. I don't know if that makes you feel any better or worse.
Screw the Yankees. Are you kidding me?
I was going to finish, but I mean from that you lost to the team that won the World Series.
I don't care about that.
If you're just saying you hate the Yankees, yeah, we've established that. I think we all hate the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that won't make me feel better. Nothing. That will make me feel worse.
Yeah, somehow. I just mean it in the concept of
you lost to the eventual champion
in terms of where the organization is headed. Yeah. And what a win the overall season is. But go ahead.
No, I think when you look at what the Royals did, anybody who's going to come in here and tell me that it's not a successful season after 56 losses just isn't paying attention to the way this team bounced back from that. I also think that we talk about there's really two ways things can go after this typically, and that is, did you overachieve and then you now have a fallback, or were you at the beginning of something more special like we saw in 13 or 14 for the Royals, or at other times in different franchises where they got back on schedule quick? And I think this season, what I asked for, it just depends. We moved the goalpost on this team probably 10 times this year, and it's still a successful season. Going into the year, Gold, if you and I were sitting in a private conversation in April, we'd have said, can you get us to Memorial Day? Was the first marker of successful season. Then it was, can you get us to the 4th of July? That was exciting. Can you get us to the beginning of the Chiefs season now? But then as that got closer, it was like, can you really compete for the division? Can you be a playoff team? Can you actually do this thing? And then when you get in the playoffs, it was, can you win a series? Mm-hmm. And that was a highly competitive Yankees series in which I think the team with more talent won. Like it or not, I think that's what it kind of boiled down to. So for as many times as we change the expectations for the Royals this season, and rightfully so, massive success this season. I don't care, man, you win 50 more games in any given 30 more, and I don't 50, but 30 more games in any given season, I'm going to feel pretty good about it. And some of the young players who they're going to be counting on for years are the biggest reasons why. And that make you feel better? Vinny, Bobby, like I understand Salvi had a resurgent year and he's a bit of an older player, but Singer maybe had his best year as a starter.
Well, Lucas Hersegg, is another individual they acquired, as we all know,
Reagan's backed him up
for multiple years of control going forward. So you would like to think going into next season, we don't even have to question anything about what you're getting at the closer spot going in. These are all stuff we'll talk about plenty in the months ahead in the offseason, but like heading into this season, we obviously weren't sure who would have the definitive closer role. Ultimately, it ended up being Hersegg, and he was one of the best closers in baseball down the stretch of the season. I know last night he didn't end his season the way he wanted to either, individually, I'm sure, too. But we talked about him probably coming in the fifth inning, and sure enough, he came in the fifth inning. But that was what was on the line. Like, he was still your best option. I understand he ends up giving up a run.
Choice.
But it was understandable why they went to that spot. Just because stuff doesn't always work out doesn't mean it still wasn't the right decision. It was the right decision to go to Hersegg there. Unfortunately, again, you said it. I think the Yankees, let's just be honest, they were the better team in the series.
I think that's what it really boils down to. If you look at the depth of their lineup, if you look at the way that their bullpen performed, and their ace, Gerrit Cole, got it done twice. In the first game, he wasn't like overly, but he was just as good as the Royal starter. And in the second game, he dominated.
He was awesome last night.
I went back and watched some of the pitches just to see, because I think the initial thing you get from Royals fans after that game is they need to put the ball and play more. Too much swing and miss. chasing too much. Chasing at about an average rate. Gerrit Cole had really good stuff yesterday, and that's that. But I really go back to last year. 2 years ago was an evaluation year. They said, we're going to evaluate who's good and who's not, and then we're going to start this season fresh, and we're going to make those decisions. And the players that they stuck with, the ones that they decided were good enough and still young, all gave them the benefit of paying them off for that service. Vinny, Michael Massey, Brady Singer. Look, they moved off of Daniel Lynch, right, as a starter, and instead he came in later in the season in the bullpen. They got Kyle Isbell. The players they stuck around after doing a full evaluation year paid off by proving to them that they had enough talent that if you spent a little bit of money around them, that there was going to be more than enough. And so I just can't. I don't know, man. I'd hate to look at this like anybody would look at this and be like, I can't. Did I want him to go further? Am I disappointed this morning?
But now what's nice
is... Of course I wanted them to win the World Series like everyone else.
But now it elevates everything going forward. You know, and that's what we'll talk about here in 15 minutes or so about what next year could be in terms of that. But that's the thing. Because of this season that they had, now it does elevate everything. I mean, how many times did we hear from fans about, hey, just be competitive, just get there. Okay, now there's a feeling that is what you're expected to do. And Bobby Wood Jr. kind of echoed that in the clubhouse. You know, now this is kind of the baseline of what people are going to expect and want. Not a one-off type of performance. And to your point a little bit about the core group of guys, there are plenty of decisions that have to be made in the offseason. There will be a lot of new faces still, just the way baseball works. And think about, because of the injuries, I mean, guys like Tommy Pham, et cetera, they brought in, those guys aren't going to be on this team next year, I don't think.
Yuli,
you know,
and Tommy.
Like,
the stuff like, Tommy Pham's really talking me into maybe
I wouldn't mind Tommy back on the team.
Wouldn't mind a little one-year deal?
Yeah, wouldn't mind a Tommy Pham on the team. Yuli, obviously, he's 40 years old. I mean, give him credit. He was fantastic in the work that he gave them, considering everything and the short time with the team. But that's more of those, you just, you know, that was a September October fling, Cody.
But the guys, yeah. it was cuffing season for them.
Is that
baseball? It's earlier than normal, right? Mm-hmm. Typically that's like a November December problem in the dating world. This in baseball, it's earlier, right?
Right,
August,
right.
September is when
but let's be honest, that's what it was for some of those guys. You know, I appreciate it. You know, we had a good time, you know, and unfortunately
it was nice seeing you. I had a great time. Yeah. I don't think it's going to work out in the long haul,
but there's a lot of pieces that will be back as well. Here is what Bobby, who obviously was emotional after the game, had to say about this season and just kind of moving forward.
It's just motivation. That's where we want to be. And so just got to keep working, get better each and every day. And so I think the best is yet to come for this team. We showed. I don't think we were supposed to be in this situation here, but we were. So it's just, we got a special team. So going to keep riding it out.
How do you summarize just this series?
It's tough. It's not what you want. That's really it. It just kind of feels like you let a lot of people down whenever you do things like this, but it's part of the game. Kind of something that will light a torch in you and leave you a bad taste for the future, because now for the Kansas City Royals baseball, this is what we want. This is what we're going to do every year. We're in postseason. Now it's how far are we going to go? It's not how we're going to get there. It's how far we're going to go. And so that's what we're going to work for, and that's what we're going to do.
Bobby, what was the...
And, of course, the image that everybody saw either at the game or you've seen it on social media, and of course, him watching the celebration. We've seen that with other star athletes in sports and the motivation that can potentially provide. Sit there and watch another team celebrate on your field. And the same thing we've talked about with Stephon Diggs watching the Chiefs celebrate. And what that does for star players and something that they will have in the... And now Bobby will have... that image in his mind, really the rest of his career, not just going in to next season, but there's a chance some of the great ones, like that is that moment right there is something you would like to think will fuel his entire offseason and will fuel the rest of his career, knowing that feeling that he felt right in that moment and watching the New York freaking Yankees celebrate on his field.
I would tell Bobby, similar to what I'm sure other people would tell him after that, like he didn't let anybody down. I mean, you know,
dude's going to finish second in MVP. He's going to
had an incredible year and you drug this team back into playoff baseball when we did not think it was possible going into the year. Like I was looking to 72, 73 wins. I think we all predicted 75, 6, 7 wins on this show before the season. I would have taken that. I'd have felt fine about that. So yeah, no one's disappointed in Bobby. There's a famous photo of George Brett sitting in Kauffman Stadium with his head holding on, you know, just sitting in his own dugout. Only person still left out there. I like the people that use that to motivate them. I will say at the very beginning of that clip, you can hear like, you're like, what is that, like clapping sound? I thought that there was a lot of surprisingly, not like positive, like, but like good energy amongst teammates, where Vinny Pasquantino had explained to us after, which changes the math a little bit here. When you're a bad team, you get kind of months to prepare for the end of, this is the end of this team. These are the friends I've made. You know, maybe this, you know, like you get kind of time to prepare and to process for that moment. But because your plan is to keep playing baseball until the end of that moment where it's like, man, this was a great, and there were guys like, you had a great year. Thank you for everything. Like,
yeah, there was a lot of embracing.
Yeah, the teammates and the staff and some of the other people, I thought was really nice to see inside of the clubhouse, even though obviously the result of it was incredibly disappointing because of, you know, when you get this far, the only thing left to do is be like, well, I want to win it. To be one of the final eight teams in Major League Baseball this year is a hell of an accomplishment. But yeah, next year, will you and I say the same thing? They get to an ALDS and then lose in four games. Well, no, you rose the expectation. And that's a good, by the way, we always talk about it like it's a bad thing. Like, well, you got higher expectations. That's a great thing. Are you kidding me? Who doesn't want higher expectations of what their performance is going to be? Bad franchises, loser teams are the ones that don't have any expectation or like, well, just I hope we have fun today, kids. No. We want to think that next year needs to be at least the ALCS.
Oh, the way the season is evaluated,
win more games.
The way next season is evaluated will be completely different than the way people evaluated fans and media, et cetera, evaluated this season. You know, someone on the text line 913-586-7965 said, how come you guys aren't calling out Bobby and Salvi? I mean, you missed the start of the show. You missed yesterday as well. We've acknowledged 2-3-4 in the lineup simply did not do enough in this series. Yeah. I don't know what you want me to like just yell into the microphone for 4 hours about it. But we said yesterday, said it today, all ready to start the show. Yesterday going into the game, they had to get more from Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. And if they don't, because I don't think they win the game. Said it yesterday on the show. And they started the show today.
They got one RBI from Vinny,
plain and simple.
But they didn't get enough out of Salvi and Bobby, and they didn't get enough.
Yeah, we acknowledge it wasn't good enough. I don't know what you mean. You want me to just be angry and yell?
I guess the other part of this is like it's not like beating a man while they're down, but like part of it is, do you think that they don't know that? Like, do you think I need to come up? Do you think I need to tell the audience that? Like, if you're listening to this show, if you watched those games, if you know those people, it doesn't matter. Do you think that Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi don't know that they didn't do enough in that series? Do the listeners not know? Like, we all know. We know where the pitfalls were that they came up short. But because we talked about what eventually cost them this series, and we did to open the show, and we will as the show goes on, I don't want to get lost in the fact that this was still an incredible year. Like it or not, this was an incredible season. A much better season than any of us were anticipating, with some guys who really emerged to be very good players for the Royals. Part of this is just selfishness. I get it. I am just like you. Over the last 10 years, unfortunately, Kansas City has ruined us a little bit. Kansas City has made us all believe that anytime your team makes a postseason, they just win the championship. The end. That's just like 90% of the time, right? 95% of the time. This feels like the energy after the Chiefs lost that game to Cincinnati. The only time they didn't at least make it to the Super Bowl where they're like, the hell is this? You're like, what do you mean? What about all the other titles or all the other times they go there or the things in between it? Sometimes your team doesn't win the championship. And that doesn't mean everything about the year was wrong.
And maybe this is it. And we were going to talk about it in the next segment, but then we'll maybe get into some of the stuff in the moves in the future and move some stuff around. But since we're kind of already talking about it here a little bit, I mean, the reason why maybe you're like, why am I not all upset and pissed? I'm obviously disappointed. Because you know what? It doesn't feel like this is going to be a one and done type of thing. We're going to have to wait another decade to get back to the postseason and see this team. That's why, frankly, like that's why Bobby Witt Jr. not going anywhere. Cole Reagan's not going anywhere. Vinny Pasquantino not going anywhere. Like, I don't know what kind of season Salvi will have next year, but Salvi will be on this team next year. Lucas Sursek will be on this team next year. Some other guys that'll move around, I'm sure.
That happens.
Right? But like Seth Lugo, did I mention him? He'll be on this team next year. Michael Wacha, we'll see. He might opt out, but doesn't mean he can't come back. Like, so this to me is not a, oh my gosh, they made the playoffs. Thank you. Finally, now we got to wait another 7 years. I'm not guaranteeing they're in the playoffs next year. I would think that they've got a great chance to be there. But the idea of why it's not so maddening especially the performance from three of those guys is because you said it. One, that's why they got to this point. But also, yeah. I think they're going to, one, they're going to have to, but I think there'll be a huge reason why they're back in the postseason potentially next year. It does, I don't think it's like 14 or 15, and it's like, wow,
we knew that
Haas and Kane and some of these other guys were going to be gone in a year or two. You just knew, right? You just knew contracts were contracts, and that's not the case with the huge pieces of why they're in this spot. I think the only exception to what I just said would be Michael Wacha, and we don't know. We don't know what the future holds for him.
It kind of depends. It's up to him, obviously, as he does that. But Bobby Wood Jr. signed a 10-year contract. Vinny Pasquantino is not a free agent for this team until 2029, I think, because of all the arbitration eligible years. And when he was called up to the big leagues, he becomes arbitration eligible next year. So good for Vinny. He'll get a raise and a much deserved one at that. But yeah, no, I'm with you, Gold. I just think if you look at this roster, and there's a lot of different ways, it could be easy to just like have a full funeral today, right? And we could be New York-based or Philly-based sports fans, and we could bury the entire team for disappointing us. But I just don't – they didn't disappoint me. They lost a playoff series against, I think, maybe a better team, you know?
Well, and I think they definitely are the better team. I think it's pretty obvious.
And they – but it was off the heels of an impressive season based on what the expectations were from the outside looking in. I'm glad they had higher expectations for themselves. And they were right, and we were wrong, and all of those things that go in there. But yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna wallow in it today, I guess, is part of it, because I'm still impressed by the season they had.
Up next, though, I do want to briefly, I'm sure we'll do this throughout the offseason, briefly look ahead a little bit to what actually do you think? You know, everybody watched The Offense. Maybe your answer is, hey, they got to go and get a bat, whatever. I want to hear from you guys. Yeah. Text line 913-586-7965. If you were the GM, like, what's do you think is the top priority for this franchise for next season to go beyond where they are now, which is unfortunately ending their season in the ALDS. Plus, we'll get into a little Chiefs football with Josh Briscoe in a half hour.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here on Cody and Gold. Just getting started here on a Friday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Toast Service text line, 913-586-7965. That's also the hotline if you want to call into the show talking about the Royals, the end of their 2024 season. If you just want to talk about, hey, what season it was and what it meant to you, if you want to talk about your expectations moving forward, what went wrong, or what we're asking you about right now, which is what are you doing in the offseason? You got your top priority list. Who or what do you think has to be accomplished in the offseason to kind of take the next step? And that, to me, should be the exciting thing. Like, all right, how do they make sure that it's not an exit in the American League Divisional Series? How do they make sure that throughout the season we're not wondering and worrying about them making the playoffs as much as it is, okay, well, can they be the team that ends up being one of the best records in baseball? Maybe you think this year was actually 2013, except the playoff field expanded. So in 2013, if there was an extra wild card team like there is now, the Royals would have made the playoffs in 2013. Maybe you think this was 2013 and next year's 2014. I don't know, right? Everything's on the table. I think on the text line, there's some interesting suggestions, obviously, and I don't disagree with a lot of them.
I disagree with some of them, though, and I'd like that to be known.
We'll get to some of them. I think it's pretty obvious they need to find a corner outfielder. That goes without saying, right? I think everybody agrees with that has to be a priority.
Now,
there's realistic names and there's unrealistic names. Yes, I would love Juan Soto on the Royals too. Thank you very much. Let's be realistic. That's just not happening. But I'm also a fan of said move. Anthony Santander is an interesting one. 29 years old. You were looking at projections already and stuff like that on contracts. I don't know if he's going to get what's projected, but 5 for 90, no thank you. I don't think
that
that's...
That was SpotTrack's estimate.
That seems crazy. But is he a 2 or 3 year deal? Might be something to look at.
I think the number one off-season priority, because so many of these guys have control, like I see lock up Cole Reagans. They can, but they can also just pitch Cole Reagans for the next 4 years without paying him if they don't want to pay him. Mm-hmm. They should want to pay him, but you get the point, is that... That is not top of the priority list. Number one priority is to ensure what you are doing with your starting five. Before you even get to a corner outfield bat, you better be damn sure who your starting five pitchers are right now. Because right now, the answer of who are the rock solid, no question, 1 and 2 starters on this team? Reagans and Lugo.
Yes.
Can't guarantee me Singer because of all the trade rumors that have boiled up over the last 2 years. Can't guarantee me Waka because he can opt out on an $18 million deal. Can't guarantee me Kyle Wright coming off an injury is an option. Can't guarantee me maybe Lorenzen. Maybe he's your five. But that means you're still looking at 3 and 4 starters. You're going to be like, oh, Kyle Wright's
the Lorenzen, you'd have to go sign him. I mean, he's not under contract.
Yeah,
so he's a free agent. He's maybe like any other name, though. I know he was with the club, has a relationship now with the club, but he's no different than us plucking any name in free agency.
And so I don't have anybody guaranteed after the first two starters in the rotation. And seeing how I just saw this rotation lead this team into a postseason berth, before you do anything, before you find a guy who can hit homers, before you find a leadoff hitter, before you find some other bullpen arms, you better lock down parts of the rotation. If you're not trading Brady Singer, okay, well, then you're up to 3. But then you got to talk yourself into, is Kyle Wright going to bounce back after the injury? Is Daniel Lynch a starter again? How much free agency dollars do we need to put on it? Do we think Chandler Champlain, whatever it is,
sure,
you know that you better start looking for viable major league starters, which means you probably have to have a conversation with Waka first, because if he's not opting out and you're not trading Singer, well, then fine. No big deal. 4 out of 5. Are kind of locked into
position.
You'll
figure out the fifth at that point with a bunch of names that you threw out there. Yeah, Waka's the biggest question. Just what is he going to decide to do? My guess is, Cody, is he's probably opting out. Doesn't mean he can't come back, but it wouldn't surprise me if he opts out unless they were just to agree.
He's outperformed the contract.
You know? He should, for his own personal benefit, he should see what the market is, and I think maybe he will. I actually believe he would like to be back in Kansas City, but as we all know, it's not always that simple. It's about the dollars and cents, and we'll see. But if he's not back, actually, there's some uncertainty there, but based on this front office and their ability to go and acquire a Seth Lugo, acquire Michael Waka himself this past offseason, I have faith in terms of their pro level evaluation to go in free agency. And yes, cost effective is always going to be part of the equation, whether it's adding an option year to make it happen or giving a few more bucks up front, whatever it may be in the first year, that kind of stuff, that has to happen. But also they've shown that they Cole Reagans, Waka, Lugo, they're really good at evaluating big league talent at the pitching level right now. They are. I know past history, it ultimately is we're going to have to talk about developing guys in the minors and see what that next crop of players are going to be. But at the big league level, this current regime has done a really good job at evaluating pitching, whether
and
it's
identifying
in terms of from other clubs, or, you know, Seth Lugo was a free agent last year. So was Michael Wacha. So I have more faith going into this offseason about, all right, who's that veteran that nobody's mentioning right now? If they think they if it's not in the organization, but a veteran that they have to go out and find, who's next year's Michael Wacha? You know what I'm saying? Like, who's next year's Seth Lugo? Not saying they're going to replicate the exact numbers, because those were home runs, and I don't know if you're going to ever hit on two free agent pitchers the way they just did, but I feel better about their process. I'll tell you that.
I absolutely do. And I think that that's part of what it is that I've just identified at this point that they've made this work better. Can I give you one under the radar flying?
Okay.
Because it is once again a player option, so it's pretty clear that it'll probably go that way. What if you made like a small trade and let them eat the money because the Diamondbacks don't want Jordan Montgomery anymore? It didn't work.
Brutal this year.
It did not work.
Brutal.
There. I know, but like Wacha was also coming off a not very good year.
Yeah.
He fits Kauffman Stadium's dynamics. That was a player that got kicked around a little bit, but was too expensive towards the end. I think he's just got a 1 year option on that thing that's like conditional player related. And so we'll see. But I'm just saying, like, if you were taking a flyer on a guy, that's the kind of player I'd take a flyer on if I were just looking to do it in the cheap. Because right now, they just want him out of the organization. Did you hear their owner the other day? He's like, I bombed that. I should have never told him.
Wow,
to go
that
sign
whole
the
offseason
guy.
Was botched because he's a Boris client, right?
Oh yeah, he was trying to hold out for like $200 million.
He didn't
nuts.
Sign until was it like the day before the season or something?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not being exact, but I think it was pretty.
It
sure
was.
It was
within
that.
A week, yeah. Probably. Yeah,
maybe that led to some of his performance, but
I like players like that. If I'm the Royals looking to increase my positioning on this, you as a team are going to have to play a different sport sometimes from the. Well, we're going to take our chances on guys we think will bounce back, even if they're not working in other organizations. That's sometimes the way that it goes if you're the Royals, because you're going to always be kneecapped by the salary cap and the constraints that come with that, you know?
I hear you on the starting pitching, because we saw that that's what ultimately carried this team and why they were in this spot heading into the postseason. It was because of Wacha and Lugo and Reagan's. 100% with you, so that's why you're saying, hey, that's your first priority. I do think, though, in the postseason at times this year, certainly when Vinny went down, we found out, though, that you are way too reliant on
3-4-5.
You know, and I think there's a challenge there when you're
2-3-4.
In this size market, like you're not your eighth hitter. You're not the Dodgers where you have three MVP winners batting in your lineup. I mean, that's just not happening in Kansas City.
That sounds cool, though.
It does sound.
I am interested.
It does sound kind of cool. I hope the Padres beat them, though. But you have to have some other pieces that you know, whether it's even a Tommy Pham type. I'm not even, you know, we always talks about Flau just looking at some of the power numbers on that, but also like. You know, we mentioned in the 14 or 15 team, they just had some guys that found a way to frankly
pro at bats,
win and have professional at bats that weren't star players. And Tommy Pham definitely was that for this team in the month and a half that he was with the club. You know, guys like that are going to have to be part of the equation that can take a little bit of the load off of Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny during the regular season, too.
This is what I still hate about baseball, though. It all still applies to the same thing. Like you're saying, I hope the Padres beat him. I do, too. Padres did not have a small payroll themselves, but it was not the Dodgers' payroll, not the Mets' payroll, not the Yankees' payroll. Because when you start going through these things and you're like, you and I earlier in the show had said, in the end, it might have boiled down to one simple thing. The Yankees had more talent. They were the more talented team, and they won. Not the better coach, not the better star, or any of the things we're talking about. We're not comparing Judge to Bob. They had more talent. Well, yeah, probably could. When four players on the Yankees make the entire Royals payroll combined, like, I mean, just Judge, Cole, Stanton, and Soto. I don't have to add a single other player into the mix to make the entire Royals payroll. So that's it. Look, I would like them to probably also add a corner bat that can hit for some power. Like, I would also be interested in Santander. I see the names. Santander, Jurickson, Profar. These are names that also interest me. Makes sense for the Royals. Could be inside their budget, depending on what the market dictates on their end. I'm just saying, you can't go into a season again not knowing about 1-5. Because this year, they were more prepared, 1-7, I would argue, than in any year in 10 years. And by making that decision, they were a playoff team.
The one thing, and I know at the end it didn't feel this way because of the injury to Vinny Pasquantino, But the other challenge is, and this goes for every team, but they were actually a very healthy team in 2024.
Yeah,
they really were. I mean, think about it.
Yeah, they missed some time here and there, but nobody missed like long stretches.
I mean, you look at other teams across base. This was a, you want to call it luck or whatever. I don't know, right? But like,
starting rotation stayed healthy.
They were a pretty healthy team until the thumb injury that really hurt this offense, we all know. So that's the other thing to factor in when we're talking about the pitching next year. Like the chances of you having a full rotation, only having a, you know, like I think Walker was on the IL for 15 days maybe or
Lorenzen
something.
Lorenzen missed a month or whatever.
But he was a late addition. He was, you know, he was a factor, but he wasn't the guy all year. What I'm, you know, that's the other challenge that you might have next year you didn't have this year. Lugo and Reagans were healthy the entire season, and they pitched a career high in innings.
Both.
And that's pretty special, you know, that's pretty remarkable. Replicating some of that could be, you know, is another thing that could be challenging.
I mentioned Bobby Wood Jr. How do you think, like, let's say 10 years from now, because that's always the way to look at it. How will you remember Bobby Wood Jr.'s season this year? Will it wash? Here's the truth. It'll wash away, right? If he just like wins an MVP next year, you won't be like, remember that one really good year where Bobby Wood Jr. finished second in the MVP and they lost in the ALDS? This is historically one of the single greatest season any Royals player has ever played, what Bobby Wood Jr. just did. So I don't want to like lose sight of that. I'm just curious how we'll remember it. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he gets washed away because I'll be honest, I think he's winning an MVP award in the next couple of years.
Yeah,
he's that special of a player. I understand just like he is disappointed postseason, in particular this series, didn't go the way he wanted it to go. But in terms of what he did across the entire season, he's going to be one of the favorites to win MVP next year going in. FanDuel, whatever sports book, he will have the second or third best odds, Cody, going into next season to win MVP. And that's probably going to be the case for much of the next 5 years. If he's healthy, right? I mean, that is going to be
a top
where
five
he's at.
Favorite.
Yep. And so, no, I mean, this to me, I just view this as the start of his career, the start of this, the national recognition that he started to get more and more as the season went on, as the team was more competitive, as people started to really look at the numbers and said, wow, this guy's having a ridiculous season. He's the most exciting player outside of Shohei Ohtani to watch in baseball. Ohtani's more exciting because he pitches as well, and Shohei Ohtani is one of the biggest freaks we've ever seen in our life in sports. Other than that, Bobby Wood Jr. is the most exciting player to watch in baseball.
I think the way you described it, in like, I don't think you said this directly, but I feel like this is what the end game is, how I'll feel about it. And I feel like that's the way you're saying it, is this was the coming out party. This is when Bobby Witt Jr. emerged as a superstar. We knew he was talented. We knew he had all the gifts in the world. We knew the guy could play baseball. This year, the way I'll remember, this year is Bobby Witt Jr. finally emerged as one of baseball's best players, as an absolute superstar in the sport, as a top five player in this league, and he plays for your Kansas City Royals. Doesn't hurt that it's coupled with a turnaround of 56 wins all the way to the postseason, that he put up, he'll probably finish second in the MVP, that he, you know, he signed a record-breaking contract to remain a member of the Royals. All those things factored in, because that's the other part. They gave him all that money, and then he immediately was like, hey, guess what, guys? I'm worth every cent! And you're like, oh, well, that's kind of nice. It's actually gone the opposite way a lot of times for the Royals. I don't know if you knew this. A lot of times they've handed out these huge contracts, and you're like, I'm not really sure we're getting our value.
He's just different, though.
Yeah, of course.
He's simply different. And there's no reason anybody should feel differently about Bobby Wood Jr. moving forward because of a rough series at the plate.
I have multiple people. Text line, now over on Twitch, YouTube. Everyone wants to know our thoughts on Jack Caglione for next year. You got any feelings on that already?
In terms of
early,
I mean, I don't think
Jack Caglione's contributing. I don't think he'll play in 2025.
I definitely don't think he's on the opening day roster like some people have texted in. If he isn't on the big league club, it's, you know, much later in the season, and he would have to be really just tearing it up down in the minors. No, I don't think he's a factor in 2025.
He played 30 games in high A ball. He had like a 700 OPS. Not great. It's 30 games. I don't think those numbers mean anything. And the Royals, as they've proven before, if they think you're extremely talented, they just care about like their internal results, not the actual like line in the back of your baseball card. I don't think he'll play in 2025. I know he's a college player and a college hitter. Even that would be kind of remarkably quick to just like get what? 30 games, and then all of a sudden you're there. He's not on the opening day roster. I don't think there's any chance of that.
It would have to be
maybe
later
get a spring training invite.
It would have to be later on in the year.
Yeah, but it would take a. I think it would take a kind of a not a miracle, but I mean, I hope. You know what? In your case, I hope that he's just so good they can't deny it. It's like Alex Gordon, right? When he just skipped AAA. We talked about that. Alex Gordon went from AA directly to AAA. He didn't play in AAA until he got sent back down to the minors. And then the one game that they were supposed to play in Omaha in the major leagues, he didn't even get to play in that game because what was the name of that guy who like was living in a van with a hatchet? Dan, went to the Diamondbacks for a while. Do you remember the there was like a whole story because he was kind of like a mountain man. He was like living in his VW bus, played for the Diamondbacks. Dan something. What was that guy's name? Come on, man. Gold, I was counting on you.
Dan Heron?
No, that's not it. Dan Heron did play. Maybe he did play for the Diamondbacks.
I don't know. He did play for the Diamondbacks, but I don't know.
Did he live in a van?
I don't know. Dan Heron played for the Diamondbacks. You said Dan, and
Daniel
I was like...
Daniel Norris.
Okay, there you
Daniel
go.
Daniel Norris. He also played he pitched for the Tigers. That's who I was trying to think of. Daniel Norris, who lived in a van, he actually plunked Alex Gordon 2 days before they were supposed to play in Omaha. They had a whole like ceremony and like 200 of his family members were supposed to be there.
Oh, wow.
He plunked him the day before so he couldn't play. He was hurt. Couldn't play the regular season game they played in Omaha. It's okay. Gordon said he made good. He found out from the clubby what kind of things Alex Gordon was into. Found out he was into bourbon. Got him a super expensive bottle of bourbon as an apology. Wrote him a note. Was like, sorry, dude. Did not mean to screw this up for you. So Daniel Norris is all good in my book. And probably in Alex Gordon's. But yeah, unless Jack Caglione is taking the Alex Gordon trajectory, he might start in AA next year. But he's going to have to tear the cover off the ball. Think about how well Alex Gordon was hitting for them to skip triple.
I guess we're going to have to make a Fayetteville, Arkansas road trip next year, you know?
For Jack Caglione?
Sure, why not?
I don't care. I mean, we did it for
Bobby. We talked to some friends of yours and that we met down in Arkansas. Down they were at the game last night, and we talked to them. They're like, when are you guys doing the road trip like you did for Bobby Wood Jr.? Because we, as a show, took the road trip with listeners down to Fayetteville. We had a great time down there. It's been a couple years.
I don't regret the player we went to go see, by the way.
I think it was worth it.
Is he good?
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, maybe we'll do that next year. Who knows?
Someone says, do you think he stays a two-way player? I do not. That's Shohei Ohtani's job and nobody else's.
Oh, Caglione? Yeah, no. I know initially they're like, well, we're going to see how it plays out. Why kill the kid's dream right away?
And then they immediately said, try to hit first, kid. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the other one later, which is a more than fair way to go about it. I'm open to it, but I just think it'd be a little too early. Can I, so obviously now we're out of baseball season.
Just ends just like that, man. It's over.
So immediately come the adult responsibilities of like taking your.
Oh yeah, are you letting your wife go? Like, are you buying her a massage somewhere? You know, go to the spa. She's been watching the kids a couple nights. Yeah, you really should get her. You know, let her go pamper herself or whatever, and you watch the kids for a day. Just
she's
whole
coming
day.
To me when we go to Las Vegas at Circa Resort.
We'll be there in a couple weeks.
We're going in a couple of weeks. We'll be there. By the way, register if you've not for our party at Overhang Bar on Friday night. Chance to win a cabana over at Stadium Swim. A chance for game day tickets. If you register, plus they'll give you a free drink just for registering. So if you're thinking about going out in 2 weeks, or you are already going out to Vegas and you're going to be there Friday night, register there. The link is up on our social media pages or text in.
Yeah, we'll send you out the RSVP link.
Yeah, we'll send you the RSVP link. Tonight we got invited to Worlds of Fun.
Is it like the Halloween stuff?
Yeah, Halloween haunt. So an older kid at Ruby's Dance Studio is performing in one of the haunted Halloween performances that exist there. Have you ever been to the Halloween haunt at Worlds of Fun?
I haven't been to Worlds of Fun in years.
So text line, I'm going to need some help here. 913-586-7965. Is this too scary for my kids? We've already agreed to go. They're 8 and 6. Am I good to bring? I mean, on there, it's like, it is scary. Worlds of Fun does not like try to sugarcoat it. But are we talking like, I'm getting ready to send my kids into a Saw movie? Or can we mostly just like play it cool and like I'm not gonna, you know, send them into terrifying circumstances?
Well, this is more the chaperone policy. Honestly, under Halloween on a Halloween haunt, it says 15 or younger must have a chaperone. Yeah, but that's the normal policy I think they've put in there. I don't know, man.
I'm just trying to figure out. Would you take a 6-year-old to a haunted house?
No.
Okay. Would you take an 8-year-old to a haunted house?
No.
What's the age in which you would? Consider frightening your children.
Definitely older than 10.
It's too late. I'm already going. I mean, we could just like mostly skip the scary stuff. Someone says, don't do it, dude. It's pretty scary. Like, you're probably not going to go. It's pretty scary.
Who's going to end up punching one of these guys?
Is like Camp Snoopy open? Can I just like mostly keep him over there and we just try to go see the one kid
performance?
Isn't
it at the point where
we're trying to be supportive, you know?
Isn't it only the Halloween stuff right now at Worlds of Fun? Isn't that it?
They have some of the rides going, don't they? What do you mean?
I don't know. I haven't been. Someone says it's not bad at all. Very fun, entertaining. Someone else says, no way. Don't take the kids. So it's a split text line.
Mm. Somebody I feel says like when Drew, I was 8, I remember going home crying.
Tell me if I'm wrong on this. This is the Drew. I don't know. We didn't ask you this last year. You strike me as guy that loves Halloween, guy that loves haunted houses. That like goes to. Have you been to since you moved to Kate? Did you go to like the?
I have not been.
Edge of Hell and stuff like that. That's here in town.
I have been to one haunted house.
The Beast.
I've been to one haunted house in my lifetime, and I will not do a haunted house again. I hate Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Someone says they have
the opposite.
All Hallows Eve. No. Okay. They are not a Halloween person at all.
They said they have stickers to not be like jump scared.
I'll put the stickers on.
Well, that's an immediate.
Put one on yourself, too. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, if I'm standing next to the kid, don't try to jump scare me if I'm standing next to a person with the
sticker
on.
Someone says take them. It's amazing. The kids take off running, screaming, crying. Don't deny them that experience.
Jeez.
Wow. Teaching that life is full of scary things and people.
Mm-hmm.
Look, what I'm trying to avoid is for the next 2 weeks, being like, I'm scared. I don't want to go to bed. I'm seeing ghosts. Like, I don't need that kind of stuff in my life. I was just trying to support this one person at the dance studio, trying to show up for the person who's performing in this thing. He offered everybody tickets to go. I think he gets some, like, comp tickets. I thought maybe he would enjoy it. Yeah. Rob Collins says, too scary. There's, like, gore and chainsaws.
Oh, yeah, Cody.
You think this is a no?
And it's like a haunted house. You should not take them.
So a lot of people saying, though, if you can buy a little ghost light that they put around like around their neck or whatever, and the workers know to kind of back off.
I'll buy the ghost light. I'll pay for the thing so that like they play it cool. But like, yeah, I mean,
in a way, I'd kind of
like
this bad?
Scary stuff a little.
Like, you're the dad, so you and your wife can make the decision. I will say, selfishly, for the content of this show, the way you're discussing
them?
Now, I feel like you need to take them, and I want you to report back on Monday and tell us how this went down. Mm-hmm. And based on the text line, everybody's acting like if you do the light thing, you're going to be okay. The kids will be fine if you do that.
Okay. So I buy the ghost light and I might be all right.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, though. On the text line, like Gold was saying, it's not like close to the middle. Like, it'd be okay. It's either do not take them or why would you not take them? It's totally fine.
And some of the rides are open, right?
They said just keep telling your kids they're actors. They're not real. Like,
well, I mean, dude, you can tell kids stuff like that all the time. Kids believe monsters are under their bed. You can't just be like, they're actors. They're just doing it for character work. If they're scared of something, they're
scared. What's creepier, your kids being scared, or if Ruby or Desmond, just one of these tried to scare and they just stare and start laughing at the people that tried to scare? Would that be freakier?
That would freak you for me. Yeah. The hell? Why isn't this scaring you more? You should be terrified.
All right. Well, let us know. Let us know how that goes. Up next, though, let's talk a little Chiefs football before we get right back into the Royals. Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor over at ChiefsOnSI.com. It's a bye week, but I want to get his perspective on the first 5 games of the season and where things stand on the defensive side of the ball after what has now been a strong performance, to say the least.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.